Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to 6 a.m. soap. Sound check okay? Okay, let me do this. All right, we are in 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. And let me just see if I'm going to read that and then we will jump in. So 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Verse 6, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, this prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace has been given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including these two guys' names I can't pronounce, Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray now as we look into your word that you would just give us insight, give us wisdom, give us application, give us the next steps for each one of us as we look into the truth of your word. As Father, I pray it would come alive. I pray that it would inspire, And that it would instruct each one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So here we are. I love Timothy. A little background to this chapter. So if you are using a paper Bible or a digital Bible, often there's that little intro piece before the chapter starts, which I find very interesting. This is Paul's second letter to Timothy. It's obviously very personal. It's written from a Roman prison. And scholars believe that this is probably near the end of Paul's life. He's going through a lot of persecution at the time. So Paul knows that his time is short and he wants to strengthen Timothy, who is his spiritual son. He wants him to remain bold, faithful, unashamed. So for Timothy is in Ephesus, which is in Turkey, and is dealing with issues of dissension, division. So Timothy's been facing a lot of hardship, and Paul is writing to tell him to steward what God has given him and to stand strong when others fall away. So let's work through this. So let's start in the beginning, verse 1 and 2. So Paul begins by reminding Timothy of his calling. And he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. So he starts by identifying himself as an apostle of Christ by the will of God. So Paul is saying, God called me, right? And it's grounded in the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. So our identity and ministry should be grounded in God's will and not human ambition, right? Because we all have these things we want to do, want to be. But at the end of the day, what is God calling us to do? So imagine a soldier, and I served in the army in another country, where you get given an instruction or command. You do that because the authority comes from not me, but the one who is above me, right? So the authority for us as Christians comes from Jesus Christ. So as we serve, we have to consider a few things, right? Are we serving in our own strength, or are we serving in the calling that God has called us to, and by God's will? So are we serving in the power of God? And everything changes when we realize that. Okay. All right, so let's keep going. So verses 3, 4, and 5. And in my version, it has a heading which is Thanksgiving. So Paul says he constantly remembers Timothy in prayer. Now, prayer was one of Paul's greatest ministries, even in prison, right? Because what can he do? He can write, he can pray. And Paul was interceding for the future, interceding for Timothy, interceding for those who follow Jesus, right? So, and then Paul goes, I remember your spiritual legacy. First, faith in your grandmother Lois, then in his mother Eunice, and now in him. Now, Paul has this unique way of showing people, hey, remember where you came from, remember who you are. And Timothy has this clear legacy. Now, that's not true for everyone, right? For many people, you might be the first person in your family that's a person of faith. But for Timothy, he has this legacy that he's reminded of. So I think we need to remember that our faith or belief in Jesus Christ is one generation away from being lost, right? It's our job to shape faith for the next generation. It's our job to make sure that faith continues. So faith is both personal and intergenerational, and prayer might be one of the most powerful things we have. One of the most powerful tools we have. I bet many of us can think of people that we care about that maybe don't walk with Jesus, right? And what can we do for them? We can pray, right? Sometimes prayer is the only thing we have. In 1995, years, many years ago, I met this guy on a retreat. And if I remember correctly, his name was Michel, Afrikaans guy, a man of such deep faith. And he shared the story growing up in this rural area. And, his house was there, and then around his house was all kinds of woods and stuff. And his father was a man of faith. And his father died, and his mom took them out, behind the house in the woods, and showed them these like ruts in the ground where his father went to pray for them and the family. And Michelle said, I always believed, but I couldn't get away from the faith of my father. And the fact that he prayed for us like that, and that illustration kind of broke him. And so prayer is this tool that is such a powerful thing. As we think of this legacy of faith, you think of a relay race. So each runner takes the baton, gives it to the next person. And so Lewis passed it to Eunice, who passed it to Timothy, and now Timothy is called to run with it. So I think one of the things that's important for us is to remember, who passed faith to me, and then who am I passing it to, right? Who are my mentors? So never underestimate the influence you have. And also think about the people that we need to invest in. I'll give you another story. It was also back in South Africa. My grandmother had dementia. She was living in a facility. And most of the time, she did not recognize my mother or me, or she thought that my daughter was a sister, very confusing. But there was one thing that the staff would tell us, and they would say to her, her name was Louisa. Everyone called her Vis. And they would say to her, Vis, would you pray for us? And in a split second, she would go into prayer. She couldn't remember our names, who we were. The body and mind fade away, but the Spirit of God endures forever. And so that legacy of faith is something I remember. Something I remember, the faith that she passed to my mom, who influenced us to eventually grow in our own faith. So what is your legacy of faith today, and who is God calling you to pass that on to? Okay, so Paul is encouraging Timothy through his legacy. And then in verse 6, he says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. So Paul says, take this gift, fan it, get the flame going. And our gifts are like fire, right? It needs fuel, it needs attention, or eventually the fire starts to burn low. So we have to, Paul is saying, pay attention to the gift that has been given to you. Nurture it, feed it, right? What are the things you have to do to nurture the gifts that God has given you? Now, Paul says, the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hand. So obviously, Paul was one of the people that commissioned Timothy. And in the New Testament, the laying on of hands was often a symbolic act of commissioning. Okay, so people are commissioned, sent out, and it's a very common act, which is accompanied by prayer usually. So this, what Paul is saying, is recognizing God's call in Timothy's life, right? So elders laid hands on him, sent him out. There's affirmation here. So Paul himself is affirming Timothy's ministry gift. He's saying, I see the gift in you, and a gift that comes from God. And so that Paul's act was confirming and stirring up something that was already in him. So what is our role, our equivalent of the laying on of hands, right? So, we may not be elders, we may not be Pauls, but we all have people that are in our lives, all have people we interact with. And so our job is to call people up as we see God working in them, right? So, hey man, I see how you're growing in your faith. I really feel like you should be leading Connect Group. But so calling people up as we recognize the gift that God's putting in them. I think a lot of you were at Youth Takeover yesterday. And what an incredible job these young people did of bringing the Word of God, right? So that's an example of what we should be doing, pouring into, these young people who are clearly gifted by God, right? So something else that we can derive from this is, Paul's looking at Timothy and going, don't be timid, right? God didn't give you fear. He gave you power, love, and self-control. So as Timothy struggles with that, Paul is calling him to say, hey, be bold in fanning the flame, fanning to flame the gift of God, right? Be bold about that because it comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit. So here's a statement for us. Right, God's gift in us needs to be exercised and nurtured, right? It's not meant to just be dormant or stagnant, right? God wants us to use the gifts that He puts in us. Again, if you think of the concept of a fire, right, it's going to die down, but if we fan it, stir it, add wood, add oxygen to it, what happens? It comes back to life. So our gifts are the same. So don't neglect your gift. Step into it, practice it. Okay, and then what does the enemy want to do? The enemy wants us to be afraid. Right, fear is not from God. The enemy wants us to doubt ourselves. Again, not from God. So we need to recognize that the Holy Spirit equips us with strength, love, discipline, all those things, all the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so let's go on to verse 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So he says, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in the suffering of the gospel by the power of God. So as I was reading this, I was remembering that as a young Christian, This may have been the thing I struggled with the most, right? Sharing my faith. And let me just fix this. And it became something that was difficult. And I thought about what are the reasons, why is it that sometimes we struggle with sharing our faith? And there's a lot of reasons for that. It could be fear of rejection, right? We worry about what people think. Are they going to avoid us? You know, are they going to change the subject? Because what is it? Deep down, we all want to be liked, accepted, right? So we don't want to be rejected. So sometimes we don't want to make people uncomfortable. We don't talk about the things that God is calling us to do. We might have fear of persecution, ridicule, feeling inadequate, right? What if I don't know what to say? You know, timidity can make us silent. Maybe I feel embarrassed or shame. Maybe I just want to be comfortable, right? I don't want to have these awkward conversations. I don't what appears to be awkward. I don't want to face spiritual opposition, right? Obviously, there's fear of distraction, intimidation. So Paul warns Timothy, says, don't be ashamed of two things, of the gospel or of Paul's imprisonment, right? Why? Because the gospel is worth suffering for. Paul has literally given his whole life to it. He's writing from prison. I'm just looking at the chat, some good comments in there. The gospel is worth suffering for. Christ, and we know the end of the story, right? Christ has destroyed death. And because of that, we have eternal life. And Christ has shown us the end of the story. Paul suffers greatly, but he says with confidence, I know whom I have believed. So we endure suffering. Why? Because our hope is secure in Christ Jesus. Because we know the truth. Okay, so think of when you go to the bank and you make a deposit, right? You're not worried about what's going to happen to your money. You know it's going to a secure place. And Paul says, I know that. My soul and my future are safe and secure in Christ's hands, okay? So that's why he could face suffering. So the question for us is, are you living ashamed or unashamed of the gospel? If Jesus has already defeated death, what do we have to lose, right? So that's a little challenge there. Okay, so let's go on. Okay, verses 13 and 14. So 9 through 12 was all about, you know, don't be ashamed of the gospel, live for it, go for it. And now in verse 13, he says, what you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. And here it is. Verse 14, he says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. So what is that good deposit, right? Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Okay, so if we think of a good deposit, my mind goes to, okay, what is a bad deposit? What's the contrast? So examples of a bad deposit could be false teaching, right? Adding requirements to the gospel, insisting on works, rituals, or whatever it is, teaching that Jesus is not fully God, is not fully God, all false teachings, right? Denying the resurrection. There were people at this time that did not believe in that. All right, so or twisting the scripture for personal gain. Paul talks about this in chapter 4. What are some other examples of a bad deposit? Worldly wisdom disguises truth, right? prioritizing cultural trends or philosophies over God's word. I'm watering down the gospel so it's easier to accept all these old bad deposits. Empty traditions or legalism, right? So there are faiths out there that are very focused on traditions, different things, self-centered messages, hypocrisy or compromise. All of these things are bad deposits. Okay, so Paul says, he says, God, the good deposit. What is the good deposit? Well, the gospel, right? The gospel message, the gospel story is a good deposit. Paul says, hold fast to it, to sound teaching. Guard it. How do you guard it? Not by my own power, but by the Holy Spirit who lives in me, right? So here's what we have to remember, that the gospel is a treasure. Paul says, guard this thing that God has given us through Christ Jesus. We must protect it, live in it, pass it on, okay? Many of you probably have things that have been passed down through generations in your family, different heirlooms, right? So, heirloom, it goes through many generations. It's something that you value, something you don't just throw aside. You guard it, right? Because it's of value to your family. And Paul is saying the gospel is infinitely more valuable than any of those things. So are you stewarding? So the question is, are you stewarding the good deposit that the Holy Spirit has placed in you, this gift of the gospel? Okay? It's precious, it's valuable, it's important. Let's pass it on. And now this next section is entitled Examples of Disloyalty and Loyalty. And note that it doesn't say examples of loyalty and disloyalty. It says it the other way around. Because Paul focuses on the disloyalty first. And so there's two groups of people here. Think about two groups of friends, acquaintances. And he says, you know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes, with apologies for wrecking their names. And he specifically names these two people and says, I've been abandoned by these two. And I think we have to ask ourselves the question again. Remember in the beginning I said, why are we sometimes afraid to share the gospel? And it's a lot of the same things. So fear of persecution, shame of the gospel, spiritual weakness, right? So lack of spiritual depth, lack of courage, maybe a disappointment with Paul, maybe a disagreement with him, right? So maybe that other ideas of what should be taught. Maybe it was self-preservation or self-sacrifice, but the bottom line is they separated from Paul and went their own way. But then Paul specifically mentions Onesiphorus, who says, he refreshed me. He was not ashamed of my chains, right? So he came to me. When he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. And so, true friendship or faithfulness is revealed in hardship, right? So, are we the kind of friend who refreshes others? Are we the kind of friend who sticks around in hardships, in the hard moments? Or are we like the other two, for whatever reason, choose to abandon? Now there are reasons to kind of separate ourselves from people who are not living, as God wants us to live. But I often think about at 2 o'clock in the morning, if I arrive at the airport, who am I going to call to give me a ride? That's there, and it's a forest, right? Who is there? So who are true friends and who are not? Think about on a hot day, right? It's blazing hot. We often get a cold drink, but that's what Onesiphorus was, the boy, a source of strength and encouragement when others abandoned him. So the question is, who can I refresh this week? Right, who needs encouragement? Who needs prayer? Who needs your presence, right? Just to be there, just to show up, right? So I think, Paul is, he put this in here because it's significant. He's saying, know who's going to walk with you, who's going to encourage you, and stick to those people. And also be like the Onesiphoruses, right? So, in conclusion, if we look at 2 Timothy 1, me just kind of summarize what we've gone through today. So, one, we have to live in God's calling and identity, as Paul is calling Timothy to do. We have to value prayer and the legacy of faith that we've been given, right? God is calling us to fan into flame those gifts, that calling that God has for us, because we all have gifts, right? We all have a call that God has for us. Then he says, be unashamed of the gospel, be willing to suffer for it, right? Are we willing to do that? And we are to guard the truth of the gospel. We have to guard this gift that God has given us. And finally, Paul says, refresh others, stand with them, especially through hard times. So, well, thank you for being with us this morning. I'm going to pray and we'll get you back into your day. So, Father, we thank you for these lessons from Paul as he endures hardship, but through that, he encourages, he brings life. He fans into flame the faith that Timothy has. And so, Father, we pray that we would be ones that recognize the gifts you've given us through the Holy Spirit. Father, that we would use those gifts. Father, we thank you for the treasure of the gospel message, what you've done on the cross for us through Jesus Christ. And Jesus, we are grateful for that treasure of the gospel. Father, we pray that we would steward it, that we would guard it, that we would share it. Father, might we be a breath of fresh air to someone today. Father, may we invest, may we refresh others, especially those who stand strong on your word, those who are diligent, and those who are living a life that reflects who you are. So, Father, we worship you, we praise you. We pray for each one today that we would live out the application that you're giving us in this chapter. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.